Stephen Colbert here with Becca, my producer, talking about the new Odyssey. Odyssey? Did you say Odyssey?
Odyssey.
Odyssey. The new Odyssey. Sounds like you're from Boston and you're saying Odyssey. Odyssey. The new Odyssey podcast. The Odyssey app. It's for free and you can get it and listen to your podcasts on the Odyssey app.
Including The Late Show Pod Show with you, Stephen Colbert.
Follow and listen to The Late Show Pod Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
What's up, Los Angeles? Welcome to Love It or Leave It live at Dynasty Typewriter. We've got a great show for you tonight. Neil Brennan is here. The great George Wallace is here. But first, let's get into it. What a week. On Tuesday, President Donald Trump delivered the longest State of the Union on record with a runtime of an hour and 47 minutes. That is the same length as The Sixth Sense, except in this case, it was like we were dead the whole time. And somewhere around the 70-minute mark, my soul left my body and began to ponder, what is the state of our union? And it can be hard to see it through all the wildfire smoke and pepper spray. It's tough on the visibility. Yeah, that's all right. But we just did a few Pod Save America shows down under, and it was stark to see America through the eyes of Australians because everything is upside down. But also in Australia vision, all Americans are wearing cowboy hats, so that was fun, though most of us can't pull it off. A question we got over and over is, do Americans understand how much damage you're doing right now? And I knew they were referring to Trump, even though we had absolutely wrecked that zoo's bathroom after trying kangaroo milk. And the answer is unsatisfying. Yes, we totally do. It's honestly kind of rude for you to keep bringing it up. We're guests in your country. But the real question comes next. How could you elect Trump again? What is wrong with you? And it's like, okay, Australia, what's wrong with us? Why'd you let all the koalas get chlamydia? Pretty judgmental there for a country that gave all the koalas chlamydia. I heard a story. A few years ago, someone asked Henry Kissinger, before he died and went to heaven, if he was worried about Trump. And he said, no, I'm worried about the ghost of Chilean dissident Orlando Letelier, whose mangled form appears above my bed nightly. All he does is whisper, November 29th, 2023, November 29th, 2023. What happens on that day? What happens? No, what Kissinger actually said was, I'm not worried about Trump. I'm worried about the person who comes after Trump. As if Trump has ever made anyone come after him. When Henry Kissinger died on November 29th, 2023, he couldn't have known that the person after Trump we had to worry about was Trump. And so Trump delivers a State of the Union after a year in which he co-opted the Justice Department, profited billions from the presidency, destroyed aid programs around the world, empowered a nutjob to oversee public health, pardoned insurrectionists who've gone on to commit heinous crimes, forced Americans to pay huge tariffs to punish other countries, attacked the independence of the press, unleashed poorly trained trigger-happy immigration agents, and broke the record for Sephora points buying foundation for his hand. How could we vote for this? The truth is, we didn't. Yes. Many rang the alarm about how much more dangerous a second Trump term would be. But for some reason, when Democrats, who had spent 2 years claiming Biden was capable of serving another term, also said that Trump was an existential threat to our democracy, the warning rang hollow. It's like if the boy who cried wolf also kept claiming that his feeble, ailing grandfather was the only person we could trust to fight the wolf. And so Trump's numbers are in the toilet. 39% approval rating, 57% disapproval on the economy, 59% disapproval, 59% disapproval on immigration. A new poll by The Argument found that among Trump voters who disapprove of the job Trump is doing, a quarter seem to have a case of amnesia and now deny ever having voted for Trump in the first place. Some say they voted for Kamala. Some say they didn't vote at all. Some of them were quite old. They might actually have dementia. This is, in fairness to them, this is the state of our union. America is living under a right-wing populist without the populace. It's not populism. Buckle up. It's floppulism. And in lieu of an actual mandate, in place of any real support for his program, he tries to grab at the prestige and legitimacy of the office in the country itself. That's why we have moments like this.
People are asking me, please, 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 Mr. President, we're winning too much. We're not used to winning in our country until you came along. And I say, no, 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 you're going to win again. You're going to win big. You're going to win bigger than ever. And to prove that point, here with us tonight is a group of winners who just made the entire nation proud. The men's gold medal Olympic hockey team. Come on in.
Must be nice to meet guys with worse bone spurs than him. But America's prestige doesn't transfer to Trump. Trump's stink just transfers to America. Like when the dog gets a hold of your childhood sleeping bag. That's the dog sleeping bag now. Because, of course, Trump didn't just invite the men's hockey team. He makes a hack joke about having to invite the women's hockey team, too, or else he'll be impeached. I don't think he needs to be impeached for this. I think he should have to put on pads and ice skates and hit the ice for one period of hockey with those women. Members of the men's team apologized for laughing at the joke, even though it was really good. Despite what the internet says, it's a really good joke. After the women's team captain, Hillary Knight, called it distasteful. That led to this moment when Jewish sports legend Jack Hughes was asked about the apology.
Yeah, I mean, like you're in the moment, the president calls, like we're blaring the music, like then they pause the music and then the president calls. So I don't think, like obviously, it is what it is now, but like we have so much respect for the women's team. They have so much respect for us and we're all just proud Americans. And
instead of drowning in holla and pussy, he's dealing with this shit. And I think it's good we make 23-year-olds push their bodies to the breaking point for national glory, and then when they succeed, present them with a genuinely novel civic and moral test. And it doesn't mean they don't have to pass it. The women pass the test. It sucks that accepting an invitation by this president is a political act, but it is a political act. And just as I know, hyper-engaged liberals nod when I say that, you, my dear listeners, agree when I say that, far more people less engaged in politics find it annoying that our response to these men laughing at a dumb, crass joke and accepting an invitation to the State of the Union is us bringing politics into everything. But it's hard for us to give up scolding when scolding is all we have left. It's like telling the guy in 127 hours that it's not good for him to drink piss. Yeah, piss was not his first choice. And besides, all of this is because Kash Patel is a loser who is too insecure to see that even if someone politely offered perhaps the locker room celebration of the first Olympic gold in men's hockey in 46 years is not for you. Look at this footage. Why is he acting like he just landed the quad axle or whatever happens in hockey? But this is what they do. Absent genuine achievement or glory, they try to take it from others. Trump adds his name to the Kennedy Center, and then all the performers cancel. But even though they've now closed the Kennedy Center Honors will continue, renamed, and this is true, the Trump Kennedy Center Honors. JFK's brain must be rolling over in its grave, a jar RFK Jr. keeps in his pickle fridge. Trump even wants a gold coin with his own image to be minted as part of America's 250th anniversary. I don't know why that's the specific image he wants. He looks like a wizard trapped him in that coin. It's a terrible picture. But an obscure federal entity called the Citizens Coinage Advisory Committee has thrown a wrench in those plans. They are refusing to discuss the gold coin at its last monthly meeting. Look at these sweet people. A group of numismatists and historians and nerds have shown more courage than senators and titans of industry. It's very inspiring until you find out how many of them are in the Epstein files. No. They're not. I made that up. I didn't check, but I made that up. Said the committee's chair, Donald Scarinci, only those nations ruled by kings or dictators display the image of their sitting ruler on the coins of the realm. Well, said Donald, you're a giant among numismatists. And listen to this. That's the sound of Donald and his wife making sweet, sweet love that night. A lot of coins. Look, I don't find it particularly useful to make comparisons to Nazi Germany in the early 1930s. It's not fair. Those people went to the opera. But I do see a creeping fatalism about America, that Trump won't allow the midterms to proceed, that Trump and his acolytes are behaving as if they'll never face accountability, and maybe they know something we don't. On Thursday, the Washington Post reported on a draft executive order written by Trump allies to declare a national emergency in order to federalize our elections and ban mail-in voting. It is very dangerous. There is no guarantee that these schemes won't succeed. We have to take it seriously. But if I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. Trump doesn't have the guys. He doesn't even have the whole men's hockey team. 5 of them declined the invitation to the White House, including a guy named Brock Nelson. He lost a fucking Brock. And the women would clearly rather dine with Stanley Tucci. And who wouldn't? Look at him. Tucci's perfect, gay in every way except the sodomy. And if... And after a few limoncellos, who knows? Trump added 10,000 ICE officers and 10,000 guys putting down an Xbox controller to pick up a mask and a gun can hurt a lot of people and do a lot of damage. But there were 4 million brown shirts by 1934 in a country a fifth of the size of the U.S. I'm not comparing ICE to Nazis. The Nazis were Hugo Boss. I'm just saying that what makes the capitulation by corporations and media companies and law firms and Republicans in Congress so pathetic, these guys are browning their shorts without a brown shirt in sight. You sure? Look at Ted Cruz pathetically defending Cash Patel.
Why was Cash at the Olympics? Because the FBI has an important job protecting security there. And I gotta say, you know, it's interesting. You see Democrats right now who are paying focus groups saying, how do we connect with real people? How do we not seem like a bunch of pufta elitists? And then they turn around and get really mad. I can't believe Cash Patel was drinking a beer and celebrating with the American hockey team after winning the gold. You know what? I would have loved to have been in that locker room, and I don't know a guy on planet Earth that wouldn't have been thrilled to be celebrating.
If we've learned anything from Ted Cruz liking a porn tweet on 9/11, it's that the man loves two things, international incidents and getting off easy. But the FBI director had important work in the Dolomites. In the Italian Alps, of course, there's a lot of important business for the FBI director. Listen, here's the thing. It's getting a lot unfair. The FBI director was gonna be in Milano Cortina anyway. Why not stop by at the hockey game? Coincidentally, you happen to have a couple important meetings with Italians and but Cash is in real trouble. He's trying to stay in Trump's good graces after this scandal by firing the FBI officers who investigated the Mar-a-Lago documents case. But that has only made him even more despised inside the FBI, which is how we learned from leaks that Cash's constant use of the jet may have hindered investigations after Charlie Kirk's killing and the shooting at Brown University. See, if you build trust with your team, you don't have to worry that they'll leak how much delicious, delicious kangaroo milk you put on the company card. Pam Bondi is in a similar spot. You can try and cover up the most damning evidence about Trump and the Epstein files, but I just don't think Pam has enough people to get that cover all the way over. First reported by independent journalists Roger Sullenberger and Nina Burley, and then confirmed by NPR and MS Now, the DOJ is withholding several Epstein files concerning an alleged victim of Trump who said she was sexually assaulted by Donald Trump sometime between 1983 and 1985 when she was between 13 and 15 years old. Yes. According to the alleged victim, those claims were included in an internal PowerPoint slideshow about the Epstein investigation. It says Trump forced her head down to his exposed penis, which he subsequently bit. In response, Trump punched her in the head and kicked her out. Pam Bondi's decision to add a star wipe to the slide was particularly disturbing. The allegation made in 2019 was credible enough that the FBI interviewed the alleged victim not once, but four times about it. Files from three of those interviews, more than 50 pages of material, have apparently been removed from the public database in violation of the Epstein Files Transparency Act. But I bet Kash Patel is going to have something to say about it the second he gets his tongue unstuck from that Italian chairlift. On Thursday, Hillary Clinton testified in front of the House Oversight Committee about the Epstein files, only to confirm that she had zero information about Jeffrey Epstein and didn't recall ever meeting him. Shame. They could have bonded over their common interests, like taking trips with Bill Clinton and having terrible email security. Of course, Hillary Clinton doesn't know Jeffrey Epstein. He had a specific alarm set if she got within 500 miles of that island. Here's the alarm. Meanwhile, Bill Clinton will answer all of the committee's questions right after he takes a massive bite of this peanut butter sandwich. Which, of course, brings us to Reese's peanut butter eggs. The Hershey's company, which makes Reese's candies, has apparently been using a chocolate-flavored coating that legally cannot be referred to as milk chocolate instead of actual milk chocolate in some seasonal Reese's products. Yes, the chocolate isn't chocolate. Now what's Christy Noem gonna feed her dogs? Brad Reese, the grandson of the inventor of Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, slammed Hershey's on LinkedIn and told the New York Times, "I had to actually throw it in the garbage. That's the first time in my life I've ever thrown a product of Reese's out without consuming it." Go off, Brad Reese, who, and I really checked, is not in the Epstein files. Said Reese, "I felt embarrassed to even wear anything that says Reese's on it." Okay, first of all, How much merch, Brad Reese, are you wearing? Hershey's removing the chocolate from its chocolate peanut butter is a minor offense in the annals of what's gone wrong in America today, but I say this sincerely, this is how Trump happened. And maybe literally, artificial chocolate-flavored coatings have been known to cause fetal Trump syndrome. A group of people in a conference room somewhere weighed the pros and cons and the inputs and the outputs and didn't care enough to protect something that they didn't build but claim to value, even if it's just a holiday treat. Maybe they convinced themselves they didn't have any other choice and that anybody else in their shoes would have done the same. And we ditched the foil on profits rose and nobody cares and everybody's cutting corners, looking for ways to get ahead, get one over on each other, eking out the margins. And bit by bit, we accept less. We give up what makes us special as the chocolate becomes chocolatey candy and the cashiers become kiosks and the chatbots do the homework and the billionaires are in the files and the president is a monster. I say we draw the line. I say we make chocolate chocolate again. So why don't you meet me in Hershey, Pennsylvania? It will be wild. We're just gonna have to wait for the signal from Brad Reese. All right, we've got a great show for you tonight. Coming up next, it's George Wallace and Neil Brennan. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. International Women's Day is a time to celebrate progress, but it's also a time to acknowledge the invisible burdens many women carry. It is easy for emotional health to slip through the cracks when you are busy looking after everyone else. Remember, your needs are just as important. Therapy provides a dedicated space to nurture yourself just as you nurture the world around you. Take a moment to celebrate a woman in your life who has a lasting and memorable impact on you. Hey, let's celebrate our moms. You know, boy, what a lady. Listen, here's the thing. Men, women, and everybody in between, you need therapy.
BetterHelp has quality therapists who work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recs. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally, and it works with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. Your emotional well-being matters. This International Women's Day, that could be because of all the burdens you face because you're a woman, or because you're a guy that can't figure out why women will not talk to you. Maybe it has something to do with some of the burdens on women. You ever think about that? Supporter and feel lighter in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/love it. That's better, HELP.com/love it. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Sundays. Is your dog's food created to maximize your dog's quality of life or to extend the food's shelf life? Think about it. And while you do, let us tell you about Sundays. Sundays was founded by a veterinarian and mom, Dr. Tori Waxman, who got tired of seeing so-called premium dog food full of fillers and synthetics. So she designed Sundays, air-dried real food made in human-grade kitchens, using the same ingredients and care you'd use to cook for your family. Every bite of Sundays is clean and made from real meat, fruit, and veggies with no kibble. That means no weird ingredients you can't pronounce and no fillers. Compared to kibble or other brands out there, Sunday invests 50 times more in its ingredients to ensure premium quality because your dog deserves food made with care, not the interest of cost-cutting. And the best part, you just scoop and serve, no freezer, no thawing or prep, no mess, just nutrient-rich, clean food that fuels their happiest, healthiest days. So you get more of those days to share together. I give Pundit air-dried dog food. It's great. You got to give your dogs quality food because it keeps them young and healthy. Leo, John's dog, has been eating Sundays and loves it.
It's delicious. Whenever Luca goes over there, she instantly sprints to the bowl and just tries to steal it.
It helps with things like keeping a more calm and focus. You get a softer coat, less itching. It helps with eye boogers, better stool. And wait till you hear what it does for the dogs. What that means. Make the switch to Sundays. Go right now to sundaysfordogs.com/loveit50 and get 50% off your first order, or you can use code loveit50 at checkout. That's 50% off your first order at sundaysfordogs.com/loveit50. sundaysfordogs.com/loveit50 or use code loveit50 at checkout.
Hey, everybody, before we get back to the show, Love It or Leave It is coming to D.C. on April 23rd. We're back at the Lincoln Theater. It's a new tradition. We love doing a big live show during the White House Correspondents' Dinner weekend. It has been such a fun show. We are less than 2 months out. We're going to have some really awesome guests line up. Get your tickets. They're on sale right now at crooked.com/events. And do me a favor, check out the brand new episode of our new subscriber-only episode of Pod Save America, Pod Save America Only Friends. If you haven't listened yet, you're missing out. This new episode was me and Tommy. We covered a lot of the news. It's a loose, fun episode of Pod Save America just for friends of the pod. We talked about Trump creating some tension between Marco Rubio and J.D. Vance, a new NPR investigation about the Epstein files. And we answered a bunch of great questions from subscribers about MAGA influencers, AI, the pit. We had a really good time. It's a great show. So check it out. If you subscribe to Friends of the Pod, you get a bunch of content that's just for subscribers, like this new show, like Polar Coaster with Dan, Terminally Online. Plus, you get ad-free episodes and you help to support us as we are building an independent pro-democracy media company. It genuinely helps us. This is what you can do to support what we're trying to build and to get good information in front of more people. So become part of the community. Subscribe to Friends of the Pod at crooked.com/friends. And we're back. My guests tonight are a comedy legend and a very good comedian. Please welcome to the stage George Wallace and Neil Brennan.
Hi.
How
are you?
Hi, come on
in. This is George Wallace.
George Wallace.
Oh,
come on. Thanks for being here.
This is George Wallace. I'm Neil Brennan.
Oh, all right. Come on through. Good to see you.
You sit over there. You know more than I do.
No. This is the right order.
I love the typewriter. That is so good. That's an Underwood typewriter.
Is it?
Yeah.
This is not working.
I'm so old, nobody knows what an Underwood typewriter is but me. You're just making yourself comfortable, putting your foot and shit in the chair.
It's my chair. I own the chair.
I own the chair.
I bought the chair.
My mom would kill you if you put your foot in the furniture. I lower these things. Oh, that's not too bad.
Love it.
Love it.
Yeah. Love it. This furniture looks like it was left over from a shut down mental hospital.
Shut down.
Shut down.
Yes, it has the kind of
force cheeriness for people that aren't allowed to have sharp things. I see what you mean. That's a good point.
I think it looked like it come from Timu.
It does have the Timu look.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, but it's holding together okay. I think it's okay. It's a podcast, yeah, so it's an audio
it's
medium.
Okay. Yeah, it's not a real TV show, so why have real furniture?
That's right. It's not a real TV show. That is such an important point. This is not television. It's so far from television. George Wallace, I mean this with great respect. Did you expect John Lovitz with a Z?
I swear to God, it's the only reason I came down. I had no idea. He just told me when I walked in there, I'm looking, I said, who's that on stage? I said, John Lovitz. That's not John Lovitz. I came because John Lovitz and I shared the same birthday, July 21.
Oh, wow, all right.
And, but see, you're younger, I'll talk to you, go ahead. I'm happy to be here because I'm an older guy, and you know, there's a thing called ageism.
Uh-huh.
So we have to come out every now and then and try to stay in the know.
Yeah.
Try to stay woke. So that's why I'm coming here with you. And if I don't know something tonight, if you ask me any question, that's another reason I came, because Neil is here, and he's one of the smartest comedians ever in America. So.
Probably ever, yeah.
So. Yeah, When I think of Neil, I think one of the smartest ever.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That sounded bad, but I meant it. So, George, you created and starred in Prime Video's Clean Slate with Laverne Cox. It was also Norman Lear's last project before he died. Can you just talk about why you wanted to do it? Like, what drew you to it?
No.
All right. Neil,
what I wanted to do, I'm going to, which one of these? Is this mine or this? Is this a beer?
It's water. It looks like a beer, but it's a water.
Well, why would you do that?
Because people want to feel like they're not drinking water at a concert. They want to feel like they can drink something that looks like what everybody else is having without having a beer at a concert. It's a stupid thing.
It's very stupid.
It's but dumb. This
do you want me to, this? I'm going to open it for him. Go ahead. Tell him about Clean Slate.
Clean Slate. I want to do. Ladies and gentlemen, are there any people out there? Because they're not moving, but they're laughing.
They're there.
And it's so dark. I don't like dark audiences. I like to see my people. But this is your show, and there's nothing I can do about it. I am a fan of the 70s TV shows, and I wrote for Red Fox back in the day. So I wanted to reboot Sanford and Son. So I went to Norman Lear. I said, you rebooted everything else. Let's do Sanford and Son. He said, no way. That's my iconic show. We're not going to do that. He said, but if you come up with a twist with a great idea, maybe we can talk about it. So I left. I said, fuck him. So I said, so I left and I went and I was talking to a friend of mine, Dan Ewan, who I've worked with, my collaborator on my books and everything. I said to him, we were just talking about, at the time, Orange is the New Black was the hottest show out, and Laverne Cox was the actress. I knew nothing about either, but I had read about it, and it was very popular. Then I thought about, what if I had a son that left Alabama as a country man, old man, down south, and went to New York to do his thing, to be who he wanted to be, do what he wanted to do. So sure enough, we came up with the ideas, and my son went to New York to do what he wanted to do. And 23 years later, I hadn't heard from my son in 23 years, but I get this call, said, Dad, I'm coming home tomorrow. I go crazy because I haven't seen my son in that many years, 23 years. And the next door, ding dong, I go to the door. The most beautiful lady you've ever seen in your life is at your door. I said, lady, I don't know what you're selling. The Watchtower, you're not young enough to know what this stuff is. Or you're selling Avon, but you got to go. My son is coming home. And she says, Dad, it's me. My son has transitioned. And it's Laverne Cox. And so I'm stunned and surprised and shocked. And I just says, well, come on in. And we sit down to talk about it. And she said, the place looks the same. But then it went on and life telling me about her life. And I'm learning about, she's learning about my life. And I think it's so great for me to be educated on how other people live, no matter what they do. And it's important to love people no matter what. And then even though she has become my daughter, I still got to love my kid no matter what. And that's what the show is always all about, love. Love trumps hate at all times. And that's what the story is about. And after you saw that moment that she's now a lady, nobody thinks about that in the show anymore because it's all about love and it's all about enjoying each other, letting people do what they want to do. But the most important thing is when she told me that she was a vegetarian, that's when all hell broke loose. I can handle the transitioning part, but this bullshit with this, we eat meat up in here. You understand?
You're sitting next to a very...
Can I... Hold on. Will you tell him...
If you ever touch me again...
Will you tell the John and the good people about the time you went to the fortune teller?
Listen to me. We drove up here tonight on Melrose. Are you... Anybody here old enough to remember when Melrose was popping, was the street in Los Angeles? It was a, do you know about this, John?
Not really.
Where are you from?
I'm from New York, but I've never been to places that are pumping, and when they're pumping, I don't go to them. So even if I could be in the dead center of a pumping place, I'm not part of it. I'm listening to a book somewhere, I'm playing a video game, so I don't know about pumping.
That's why you're so smart, because you're educating yourself. But Melrose was a pumping street. It was just, you couldn't even walk on the street. But so Jerry
there
Seinfeld,
was so much pumping.
But some of you, some of you,
you
don't.
You get pumped.
You get pumped.
Next thing you know, you get, be getting punked, pumped. Go, I'm sorry, go ahead.
See how he can write jokes just like that? So, so Neil.
Yep.
What's the story?
No, so you and your friend Jerry Seinfeld, the year is 1977.
Yes.
You drive out in a Ford LTD?
That's a Lincoln. That's a Lincoln. Don't play me short. It was a it was a Lincoln.
But you're like, Lincoln,
those of you don't know, you watch the Seinfeld show. I'm the real George. I'm the roommate for 13 years. I am the best man in his wedding, and I'm the father of his kid. So now you know the story with being Jerry Seinfeld. So we're walking down the street, 1977, and I see this sign that says, come get your fortune told, Miss Mary, or something like that. And I said, because I always want to, you know, comedians are stupid. Ooh, let's go in there and see what the hell this lady's going to say. He says, I'm not going. I said, let's go. He says, I don't want to go see no shit like
that. I'm not going.
I says, come on, let's go. I said, let's go. We're going to go. And I said, you got to go now, because she knows we're coming. You know? So we get in there. Excuse me. I don't know how long. I did like 3 shows tonight, so I'm a horse. So, but any case, we get in there, and I go over, and she reads my fortune. She looks at my hands. She says, ooh-wee, you're going to make a lot of money. You're going to make a lot of money. And I'm looking at Seinfeld like, see? after she finished reading mine, I said, you go. I'm not going. I pushed him over, and he finally stood in front of the lady. She read his palm. She said, oh, my God. She said, I thought he was going to make a lot of money. You're really going to make a lot of money. And it came to be true. So we're trying to find that lady now.
And, that's a good fortune teller.
Yeah.
It's a good really fortune teller. It's really, and now he has more money than any comedian in the world. Isn't that amazing? My best friend. If you're going to have a friend, you might as well have the richest one, right?
No, that seems cool.
That really seems cool.
Is he good with the money? Does he do fun
He's
things with it?
He's fantastic with me. Like, we're riding on his plane the other day. We're going to jet. We're going
stop
to Las
there.
Vegas.
Just stop right yeah. there. Stop right there. That's all you got
to
say.
We're going to Las Vegas. He says to me, you need to get your own plane. I said, what the hell we need another plane for? This one's running just good. We don't need 2 planes. We got this one. So I could talk about money all day, the stuff that he does. But he does with me. We don't have any other friends. We don't have a lot of friends.
You don't need any more friends. You got the plane. You're good. You got the plane's good.
The plane is good, yeah.
That's a good life.
I love that. What are you going to say now? You're just looking at me.
I'm just enjoying your company. I'm so charmed. It's
am
a
I
legend
charming?
In my presence.
Yep, I told
you. We love that you're a legend in our presence, and you're so charming to have the charisma that's coming off of you. The radiating
that.
Charisma. It's
don't
powerful.
Don't do that because I love that. I love that. when people tell me that, that's why I live. My job is to give back purpose. When I love people, and I love happy people, and when I see happy people, it makes me happier. And I can't even myself how much I don't even know the people in the audience tonight. First of all, I can't see them, but I just love being here. And then you have some good people in the world. Like, I didn't know who was going to be here, and they said Neil Brennan. I'm coming.
Well, it's good that you like Neil, even though he's not happy. and he's a vegan. He's a miserable vegan. What is?
Are you a vegan?
That's not important.
Had I known,
he's a vegan. Doesn't eat meat.
Had I known that, I wouldn't have come. You look at him, he looks like he needs to eat some meat, doesn't he? You need to try some meat. But you know, the vegans and vegetarians, they're always trying to get us to try stuff. And they get us to eat that thing called tofu, and they always have to put some, what do you call it, some kind of flavors on it. What do you call flavors?
Spices.
Spices on it, yeah.
Everyone, a lot of meat, go on.
Yeah, we have spices right on our side of the ledger.
Are you vegan?
No, okay. No, I'm with you. I'm eating
the meat.
It
tastes like an eraser. You're just eating an eraser with spices on it, you
they've
know?
They've done amazing things with the tofu. In just the last couple of years, you gotta check it out.
Sucks.
Yeah, but you know, one time...
You don't see us taking no ribeye steak trying to turn it into kale and shit, do you?
No, it only goes... Yeah, that's true. Neil.
Yes.
There was a story today. So Governor Gavin Newsom has said that Democrats should try to be more culturally normal.
Yes.
Do you know what that means? Do you? What is culturally normal? Do you think these Democrats aren't culturally normal? Am I not culturally normal? George, do you think I'm culturally normal?
I think we all are, but I don't know what more cultural. Maybe it's more cultural. I don't know what he's saying. Yeah, does you know what they're saying?
I'll take it from here.
Thank you.
I don't know what he means, but I'll probably end up donating money at some point.
Don't do that. Please don't donate money. I donated money to one person. All these people know me. Today I got 25 requests for money. I gave one person, John Ossoff.
He's a good
one. Georgia.
He's a good one.
He's a good runner. We hope he becomes president one day. But if you give money, $5 to one person, that's all they need, $5 to one person. And this, they always say this is the last time. And as soon as you give the $5, it's right back on you tomorrow.
They pass your name around.
They do.
Man, are you getting texts on your phone asking you for money?
I'm getting texts from people I don't even know.
They're texting George Wallace on his phone, too. This has got to stop. That offends me. I get texting me.
I agree.
I get spamming me. You should not be dealing with this. This should not be happening to George Wallace. The rest of us, fine. But your phone shouldn't be treated that way.
There's something wrong with you. I don't know what it is. Do you see? He's presenting. You shouldn't be doing this. They shouldn't have George Wallace's number. Well, if you ever give them your email and you give them a dime, everybody gets it. And what do you call that? Leads. These are leads.
Oh, they're lead. They're like the Glenn Glary. They're the Glenn Gary. These are the good leads.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
These are the good leads.
Culturally normal. What do you think he means, John?
I think it's about the woke language. It's about privilege and trigger, and that's I think
you
in
agree?
His mind.
I agree with him in that regard.
I think that we are shadow boxing a way of speaking that peaked 5 years ago that we're still
totally
paying
agree.
In blood for. That's what I think mm-hmm. it is. We're still talking about Kamala Harris raising her hand and people.
She is brat though. You got it.
No, for sure. And I don't want to take anything away from Kamala being brat. That's so important that we keep that in focus. Kamala remains brat. That was a wonderful time. We all felt good very briefly. That was nice. Remember that, George, when Kamala was brat?
No.
Don't tell him.
We're
don't
not going to. Don't worry. You don't need. It's fine. It's fine.
Hold on. I have something I need to say. Excuse me. 6 weeks ago, I get a WhatsApp message. I don't really use WhatsApp. I'm American. And it says, hey, man, been a while. I'd love for you to come to the premiere of a movie I made in D.C. And I'm like, I have no idea who this could be. And I look up Brett Ratner, director of Melania. Met him twice 20 Ooh. Years ago. Boy, did I love that premiere. Go on.
Do you think about it? Did you think about it?
He didn't say what the movie was. So I was like, I don't want to see
him. Oh,
Brett
my God.
And then once I figured it out, I was like, I kind of wish I'd gone.
You kind of wish you had gone. Why not? I wish you had gone.
I would have taken you. Yeah, it would have been pretty great.
That would have been cool.
That's an interesting woke test. A friend of yours, a good person who you love, gets hired, makes the film Melania, invites you to the premiere of the White House because you want to support your friend, but you don't want to be associated with this film or this administration, but you want to support your friend. Do you go to the premiere or not?
I don't go. I'm sick that day.
He said, George, the person in the front row says, your friend's a piece of shit. Okay. Probably, right? But people got to make money. It's a tough time in the business. You're going to turn down a grip job because of your woke politics? Must be nice to have food on the table. The guy's trying to make money in Hollywood. Gets offered a job. You're going to say no to him. There's not a lot of work right now in the fucking town. All that you get a camera work position. You want to do it. You're trying to learn your craft. You say no. When's the next one going to come along? Pretty easy to say that in the front row. That's a great place to leave it. We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Bombas. As we shift from 2026 resolutions to spring cleaning, there's one thing that remains at the top of my to-do list, getting comfy. That's where Bombas comes in. They're bringing serious comfort to all of my everyday go-tos. The all-new Bombas sports socks are engineered with sports-specific comfort for running, golf, hiking, skiing, snowboarding, and all sport. They're cushioned where I need it most, sweat-wicking, and loaded with other tech features to keep you comfy and locked in. For those everyday around-the-house days, Bombas also has you covered with the comfiest footwear imaginable. They have the luxurious Sherpa Sunday slippers that feel like walking on clouds. They have slides made with super comfy and lightweight EVA, the Friday sandal. I wear those things all the time. I wear them to Pilates class all the time. I wore them on my flight back from Australia. Super comfortable with socks and sandals. You don't go to jail for that anymore. And for every item you purchase, an essential clothing item is donated to someone facing housing insecurity. One purchased, one donated, with over 150 million donations and counting. Head over to bombas.com/love it. Use code love it for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/love it. Code love it at checkout. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by stamps.com. It's staggering that to this very day, many small business owners are still making post office runs or are stuck with expensive postage meter leases. It's 2026, not 1926. Mail and ship when you want, how you want. With stamps.com, you can send from your computer or phone 24/7. No long lines, no low supplies, open anytime. Print postage on demand and get up to 90% off carrier rates like FedEx, UPS, and USPS. Schedule carrier pickups right from your door and get carrier compliant labels every time. No errors, no rejected mail, no wasted trips. It's perfect for your business. Send certified mail, get document tracking to confirm delivery and analytics to make sure you know exactly what you've sent and spent. For almost 30 years, millions of customers have relied on stamps.com to make mailing and shipping faster and so simple. Stamps.com has been a help for us, like from the beginning, because, you know, we were mailing out merch and all kinds of things, and it was great to have Stamps.com to help us do it. Right now, you can try Stamps.com risk-free for 60 days. Go to Stamps.com and use code LOVEIT to get 60 days risk-free. 60 days gives you plenty of time to see exactly how much time and money you're saving on every shipment. That's Stamps.com, code LOVEIT. That's Stamps.com, code LOVEIT. And we're back! Neil has an incredible podcast called Blocks.
Yeah.
I've been a guest
both
on
these
it.
Guys have been on. You,
George has been
great.
On it. I bet
yeah,
George's episode was better than my episode.
I was his
episode.
Best guest.
You had to be. Do you really get
I
into
mean,
it?
I mean, that's what he told me.
That's what he told me. You know,
I'm
he told
sure
me
that's
something
what he
similar.
Told me too.
Told
yeah.
me that something similar. Unbelievable. What a
Jerry
schmooze.
Seinfeld was the best guest. Go ahead.
Wow, that's tough to hear. It must be tough to hear. Do you feel competitive with your friend Jerry?
Am I what?
Competitive. Do you feel competitive with Jerry?
No, we're completely different. He's top of what he does, and I'm top of what I do. And we're both good.
It's good to have a Jew, but and you root for him.
Did you just say it's good to have a Jew friend? That's what you said.
I want to say that impossibly, it was very close to that, but not what I said.
It doesn't matter.
It
doesn't
what
matter.
You heard.
You call him Jew or whatever. I wish everybody had a friend like him. I just love people. I don't care about his religion or his whatever. He's a great guy, and I'm happy to have him as my friend. I call him the Jew man.
So, Neil, do you want to just, what inspired you to do the podcast? Like what?
I did a Netflix special called Blocks where I talked about my problems. And my buddy Jimmy Carr said, why don't you do a podcast about other people's problems? And one of George's problems is shopping, compulsive shopper.
Yeah.
How's that going?
Not good. I will buy anything that's on TV. I don't care what it is. You come into my house, I got everything from, there's a new cloth you wash your bag with, it's the same one you polish your car with. I buy all kinds of crazy, and the ED market, I bought everything in the ED market, trust me.
You don't want to mix those.
I don't have...
You don't have the pump?
I don't have the pump yet. You have to tell me about it. But I don't have that.
This is a different kind of pumping than what was going on Melrose, I assume. Well,
it's not that different. Yeah.
Sometimes you do it, you're pumping on Melrose and you're pumping when you get home.
Pumping.
Because you pumped, you got on Melrose, you did some pumping.
Yeah.
You pumped on Melrose and you thought, this pumping's going well, let's do some more pumping back at my place.
Yeah, but I have a problem. I did have a problem. And I still do with the internet. And I have compulsive shopping disorder, CSD.
Really?
And I just ever buy anything, and I look at it and go, why did I? My house is full. There's packages. My people called me yesterday at my condo in Atlanta and said, do you want us to take your, they're always saying stupid stuff. I had some DoorDash food the other day, and the food came, and the concierge called me and said, Mr. Wallace, your food is here. Do you want us to send it up? Just stupid shit like that. No, you keep it, you know?
But we're talking about the things that block us. And for you, it's compulsive shopping. Mm-hmm. Let's see who in the audience might have a block they could use help with. In a segment we're calling Block Party.
The lights are up.
They turned the lights up.
Yeah,
just
finally.
About 5% up.
anybody have a block they'd like to share? Anything holding them back? It could be emotional. It could be a physical obstacle. A bump in the road.
Bad habit.
Bad habit.
Unavailable men.
Unavailable men are a block for you. You want a man.
I like the unavailable ones.
Oh, your Ooh. Problem but is you're only attracted. You're interested in unavailable men.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
So it's a block.
And so, do you want to only be interested in available men, or do you want to get one of these unavailable men? Is there a specific unavailable man you're interested in?
Sure. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So is there one man? Are you in love with a married man?
Not married.
You're in love with a man in a long-term
partnered.
Relationship. Partnered.
Open.
Open. Okay.
Not poly.
I mean,
not poly.
Yeah.
Open. First of all, can we start an ICE for these polyamory people? Can we do that? It's so it's both obnoxious and incredibly boring at the same time. It's almost impossible what they're doing. You go, oh, this is going to be about sex. And within 5 seconds, you want to jump out the window.
Open and poly are obviously people that are like, you know, I'm in a long-term relationship, but we occasionally sleep with other people, but it's all very like I can make sense of that. It's complicated, but I make sense of it. The people that are
you know
like,
what I would do? You know what I do now when people start? I go, hey man, just masturbate.
For sure. And that's great advice anyone.
That's really good advice.
It's really
Thanks.
Good advice. But what I can never comprehend, not that I don't judge it in the sense you can do whatever you want, but like, was having one relationship not complicated and time-consuming enough? You want two relationships at the same time? George, have you ever been in two relationships at the same time?
I've never been in one relationship at the same time. I'm pretty much a loner, and I happen to just love my life, what I do. And as he mentioned, I used to tell a joke. I'm a bisexual, and... because the last time I had sex, I was by myself, and and I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, he's mono. Whatever poly is, you're mono.
Mono, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I think I would
Monopoly.
Say
Monopoly.
Monopoly. You're a Monopoly. So you're interested in an unavailable.
I should probably close with that, but we'll keep going.
You're interested in an unavailable man.
Does that make sense, first of all? Does it make sense at all?
Of course it does.
But then why don't you tell a lady you're crazy?
Oh, we think you're crazy.
Okay.
We think you're crazy, and...
it's been years since she found a person, so, you know, she's not going to find an unavailable person.
Have you slept with him?
Yeah.
Wait a second.
So he's slightly available. More available than we thought a moment ago.
She just said he was unavailable. No, I've slept with him.
No, he's... guys, it's emotionally unavailable. Was the sex especially good?
Yeah, it was. That's why she'd want to do it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it's about the sex, though, George.
We don't think it's about the sex.
I think it's about his unavailability, and she's trying to convert him.
Ooh.
It's like emotional bandwidth he doesn't have a lot of.
Oh, right.
I've used that one.
So are you looking for other ways to say has a partner? Because there's a lot of other ways we could say it.
Sure.
But,
no, there is
you,
a there
of
is
course
a
doesn't have emotional bandwidth. The
John, the, you know what? He's also got a really full plate right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, so. He's gonna listen once he gets his head above water in a couple months
after the holidays.
I think you deserve an available man. I think you should go find one of those. And I know it seems like there aren't many because of what they're all like, but. but good luck out there. I think having to go out and find an eligible straight man is a punishment worse than death. Okay. anybody else have a block? Well, what's your block?
Curious to see how you guys handle this one.
What do you say?
He's curious to see how we handle this one.
Three smart guys. Let's see you go. Resurgence of anti-Semitism in America.
That's your block? That's what's holding your block. That's holding you back
right
now?
There are a lot of issues, I can tell you.
Look at your son.
My son, we're going to have an interesting ride home. My wife and I were at a restaurant, and we almost got in a fight with some Palestinians over, you know,
you almost got in a fight at a restaurant with Palestinians?
On a discussion. Having a discussion.
Were you at the same table when the discussion began?
No, they overheard us. We overheard them.
Oh, so we're overhearing each other at nearby tables and then engaging in what sounds like a very positive and constructive manner.
No, we were trying to be constructive.
But it didn't, but something went wrong.
Correct.
Do you feel as though, and I'm taking very seriously your question, and I agree with the premise of the question.
Fair.
At the same time, do you feel as though you did things in that conversation to cause that conversation to escalate in a way that was counterproductive? Do you
honestly,
own your part of it?
No. I was just trying to be honest.
But people can be honest while getting a fight in a restaurant. Do you think you said was as constructive and generous to them as you would have wanted to be treated yourself?
I think I was fair.
So it was their fault. It was the Palestinians' fault.
I'm not saying it was their fault. I think what happened was the same problem we have now. They're just people are dug in.
Mm-hmm. But you can't talk to people who are dug in without almost getting into fisticuffs. What kind of food was this place? What kind of food is it?
Moroccan.
You're at a Moroccan restaurant picking a fight with... Well,
I believe that's called a proxy war. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm sorry that you had that experience, and I'm sorry that you had an argument in a restaurant with Palestinians.
But I mean, it's not just that.
Well, of course it's not just that.
John, how soon are you going to do another block segment on this show? Just out of curiosity.
I think that anti-Semitism is genuinely a big problem in society. That is not why you personally almost got in a fight in a Moroccan restaurant.
No, I agree.
What's your name?
Josh.
Josh?
Yeah.
I want you to know that I relate to you right now. So much. I was at a wedding. I'll tell you something. I was at a wedding. It was a beautiful Jewish wedding. And basically, the experience of being at a Jewish wedding in the past year is a loving young Jewish couple desperately trying to have a day in which the hostages are not brought up. And I say that only because people don't want to have a conversation about a terrible and ongoing crisis. And what has happened is at these events, there is a moment at which something inside of a person over the age of 50 comes alive and they must talk about it. And so I was there was an hour long wedding ceremony. It was absolutely beautiful. And right before they stepped on the glass, the rabbi was like, and we can't forget the hostages. Boom. And it was like, oh fuck, the hostages became part of this wedding. And then they're playing the hora. There was an old man playing an accordion doing the hora. And he finishes the hora. Da, 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 da. And then he gets up and he grabs a microphone and he said, I would be remiss. At which point his daughter, who isn't in the wedding, runs across the room and says, more hora, dad, more hora. Play more of the fucking hora. Da, da, da. And back on the hora he was. Anti-Semitism.
Case closed.
Yeah, case closed. Let's do one more personal block.
Just one more.
See if you can top it for awkwardness.
What is your block?
My block has more to do with creativity. I like to choreograph for fun. I have a cast of 9 dancers, and my choreography was originally for 25. I can't get past a point in the song, of coming up with new choreography for just 9 dancers. No matter what I do, how many times I listen to the song, I just creatively unblocked.
Do you see what she did, sir? See how her question was about something going on in her
That's
life?
That's not that different from Israel. You know what I mean? It is something of a choreography issue. Go ahead.
Yeah, and how to deal with so many different people in one place,
people,
and there's not enough space. There's not enough space on the stage for all these people. How do you? Yes. Yeah, that's actually true.
Netanyahu can't see past a certain number. You know what I mean? He can't. He's got a block.
Yeah. So, Neil, what are your thoughts?
I think you have to decide if, I believe the phrase is, it's a poor craftsman who blames his tools. Am I right?
That's right.
Look at my man. You got a close one, my man.
And he's got a lot of tools because he buys them on the internet.
Yeah. Right. Well, I do. I got all those little gadgets.
That's good. That's fine. I like those things.
And if you're listening to this, you will not be surprised to find out that George is wearing purple leather.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful color. It's a very rich, dark purple. It's very nice color.
Yeah, I just had three more made, so I can, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I need one at each house, so, you know.
A lot of debt. You have to make the, you better figure out a way to make the choreography with 9 dancers, or you're not a choreographer, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, hey, you got this. Get out of your head. George, are you a dancer?
No, not at all.
Me neither.
No, not a dancer.
I used to dance
back in the days. I'm a product of the 70s, so, you know, I did go to Studio 54 and all of those places. Wow.
Tell about Ibiza real quick.
What about Ibiza?
Ibiza is like Americanized now. It's just like back in the 70s and 80s, Ibiza was a place you could go to. That's where places would go. People would go and just do their thing for 23 years and then call it daddy. No, it was a place people could go. Mostly foreigners and rich people would go and enjoy themselves and be who they wanted to be.
George, you were working in advertising. How often would you go to Ibiza?
I go like 6 times a year.
6 times a year to Ibiza? Mm-hmm. Ibiza?
Yeah, just Ibiza.
Ibiza.
All of the S sounds are, all of the S and Z sounds are
I leave Thursday afternoon.
And I go over there Friday morning, Saturday, and Sunday come back and be ready for work on Monday morning. It's a lot of fun. That's why I just love to travel and people enjoying themselves and having a lot of fun.
Did people wear a lot of clothes in the
beach?
Always
nude beaches. I used to, ooh, wee. Yeah, I used to. I never went nude, but I had on those biker shorts. You could see all my junk, but I was still.
But you're still demure about it.
Yeah.
You're still keeping your feminine mystique.
Yeah, listen, I was over there. Back in the day, you're not old enough, but back in the 70s, people would show their junk. That was the style. When you were doing,
that was the style?
Yes. Even the preacher would say the men was walking around with your balls showing. People would show their junk. People, who's in the same, come from the 70s? They remember you would show your junk.
And that's a great place to say, watch Clean Slate on Prime Video.
Do that.
And for dates, go to George's social media at The Real George Wallace on Instagram and Threads. And the Blocks podcast is on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. When we come back, we'll close with a few second thoughts.
Let's do that.
I love it.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Simply Safe. Let's talk about something we all want, peace of mind. For most, that starts with knowing your home and your loved ones are safe. That's why you can trust Simply Safe, the security system millions of Americans rely on to protect what matters most. And this month, we're excited to share an exclusive offer with you, 50% off a new Simply Safe system when you order today. Traditional security systems only take action after someone has already broken in. That's too late. Simply Safe's Active Guard outdoor protection can help prevent break-ins before they happen. AI-powered cameras backed by live professional monitoring agents monitor your property and detect suspicious activity. If someone's lurking around or acting suspiciously, those agents see and talk to them in real time, activate spotlights, and even contact the police before they have a chance to get inside your home. No long-term contracts or cancellation fees. Monitoring plans start affordably at around $1 per day, 60-day satisfaction guarantee or your money back. Named Best Home Security System by U.S. News & World Report 5 years in a row, ranked number one in customer service among home security providers by both Newsweek and USA Today. I've set up a Simply Safe, incredibly easy to do, incredibly reliable. The app is great. The customer support, really reliable. So why wait? Protect your home today and enjoy 50% off a new Simply Safe system with professional monitoring at simplysafe.com/love it. That's simplysafe.com/love it. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Now it's time for a segment.
Yes, we're back.
Now it's time for a segment we call Second Thoughts. This is where I regret things that happened during
that
this episode.
That bell didn't work for the first, whatever the first, the test, not a test bell, doesn't work there. Go on.
So I have a second thought about where that bell was.
That's a Temu bell.
That was a Temu bell.
Yeah.
One second thought. Telling an audience member willing to share something.
Do you ever see Temu Bell in concert? Go ahead. Remember we'd see Temu Bell and Ibiza, the junk hanging out. It was incredible.
Just junk, by the way. Just junk. Just the junk. Just junk, baby. Just junk.
Yeah. It would be masked. You'd be wearing a balaclava.
Just junk. Yeah.
Junk out.
Yeah.
Temu Bell, had to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That joke was so much better than you gave it. That's fine.
Telling an audience member willing to share something deeply personal with us that we think they're crazy. That's one regret. Nah, I don't regret that one. Do you have any second thoughts about tonight, George?
Yeah. No, I'm comfortable. I'm happy to be here. My second thought is that I need another chance to come back and do this again.
Wow. We'll get George again. I have a second thought. I think we should have just written our own blocks and faked it. And just said, wow, what a great question from the fucking crowd. I love all of you, and you're all very emotional and sensitive, and you bring what you bring, and I think that's part of the beautiful process of the show. Thank you for being here. Please keep attending. Oh, and the producers think I should be should feel like it was a mistake to say whatever I said that led for you to say, George, something's wrong with you.
No, it's just something wrong with you. That's all I wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know there's something wrong with you.
No, 100%.
Yeah.
I want you to know something. You're right.
Yes.
And I take it.
There's
totally
nothing wrong
in good
with
faith.
Being been a little off. All
no.
of us are a little off.
Well, I'm off.
These people out there knowing this.
I am off.
And everybody watching us is a little off. And that's
for
what's
sure.
good about the show. The show is for people that are a little off.
For sure. No, the fact that I'm off is why I'm here. Both in the sense that it lets me do this, and there's something broken inside me that's always trying to fix it, you know? And maybe I'll fix it here.
And you get to share it with everybody.
Yeah, I get to share it with everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Neil, do you have any second thoughts?
No,
your second thought, not the first thought, your second thought.
My second thought, I thought our chemistry was... dynamite.
We always have great chemistry. Neil and
Absolutely.
I have great chemistry. Actually, George and I, we have great chemistry. I feel like we had good chemistry tonight. I feel like there was a rapport here, a real interplay, a real banter. Kind of. It doesn't have to go two ways. I don't need you to feel it. I felt it.
I'm so happy to be with you. And I just tell you that. I'm so happy. Second thought, yes, we have the chemistry. I love you. There's absolutely nothing you can do about it.
And that's a great place to leave it. That's our show. Thank you so much to Neil Brennan and George Wallace. We'll see you next week at Dynasty Typewriter. There are 247 days until the midterms. Have a great night and have a great weekend. If you're already scrolling endlessly, which we know you are, don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, TikTok, and all the other ones for original content, community events, and more. You can also find Love It or Leave It on YouTube for videos of your favorite segments and other YouTube-exclusive content. And if you want to sing our praises or rip us a new one, please drop us a review. Finally, if you want to listen to Love It or Leave It ad-free and get access to exclusive shows, go to crooked.com/friends to subscribe on Supercast, Substack, YouTube, or Apple Podcasts, wherever you are, you can find us. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer. Bill McGrath is our producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus is our senior staff writer. And Jocelyn Kaufman, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, and Suba Argwal are our writers. Jordan Cantor is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. Our theme song is written and performed by Sure Sure. Thanks to our designer, Sammy Kaderna-Rees, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast. And to our digital producers, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, Delon Villanueva, Jay Banks, Milo Kim, and Rachel Gajewski for filming and editing video each week so that you can. Our head of production is Matt DeGroat, and our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
It's Love It or Leave It.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.